Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
If you were fighting for your freedom, where would you want to be? Close to your legal team, near your family, in a place where at least the logistics don't stack the deck against you? Richard Allen isn't in any of those places. He's in Oklahoma. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away from his wife, his lawyers, and the state where this all began. On paper, prison transfers happen all the time. In reality, they can be used to make a defendant's life and defense exponentially harder. Add in the fact that Kathy Allen isn't able to visit her husband since before his conviction, and you start to see why this doesn't look like routine bureaucracy. Kathy's appearance in the recent documentary was a turning point, a reminder that there's a real family behind this case. One that's been shattered, whether you believe Richard Allen is guilty or not. But here's the kicker. She was never called to testify at trial. Her humanity, her perspective, the context she could have provided, all left on the table. Why? That's the kind of decision that can change the course of a case, and it's where we're going to start here today with Bob Mata, defense attorney and host of the podcast Defense Diaries. Let's get into it.
To be honest with you, I mean, there's got to be some kind of an agreement between Indiana and Oklahoma for them to just try. Like, I mean, typically you serve your sentence in the state in which you're sentenced in. It's not to say, I mean, I've certainly heard of prisoners of note being moved out of state to different prisons. It's typically for security reasons.
Yeah.
But in terms of why Richard Allen was moved, I have not been able to get any information, and people that are in the know have not been able to get any information as to why that happened. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, look, with appeals, the defendant doesn't go in there and sit in the appellate court while those get argued anyway.
Sure, sure.
It's not going to affect his ability to you know, have his appeal heard mm-hmm. and litigated at all. It does move him hours and hours and hundreds of miles away from his wife.
Yeah.
Terms of her being able to visit, but from what I understand, Kathy had not been able, she hasn't been able to visit Richard since he was convicted.
Really?
From what I've heard. Yeah. From what I've heard. So I don't know, man.
Do they not allow visitate? I mean,
of course they do. Yeah.
Then why would she, I mean, what's the,
I don't know. Yeah. Man. Yeah. But it's the same answer when he's a pretrial detainee, why they're not allowing her to visit.
Sure, Sure.
Like what is there, does there exist a reasonable explanation?
Do we know what is he in solitary confinement now? Do we know what's where he's at or how he's being held within the confines of the prison?
I would assume that it's some kind of protective custody. Mm-hmm. You know, like he could be being held in a very similar circumstance to which he was being held in.
Yeah.
You know, in Indiana pretrial.
Yeah.
You know, where he's in a cell 23 hours a day, losing his shit.
And that's what I wonder about, because that's my big question. How is he today? Do we know how he is today?
You know what we can figure based on what we saw from the first time they had him in prison for 13 months in solitary? He's not doing better. Yeah. You know, like that's for certain. Like he's not doing better. I mean, prisons just are not the type of place where they're overly concerned about your mental well-being.
No, no.
Like that's just not, it's not what they do. I mean, it's not to say that they don't have people that they have available to talk, you know, with inmates when they're suffering mentally.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they do, but in terms of, is that their primary concern?
Not at all. It's just not. And the thing is, like, once this, I mean, if and when, or if we end up getting to another trial, these appeals work, if something happens, what's going to be left of this man by the time, if he ever is let out, if ever found not guilty, if they find that this was all a big sham and he goes free, I don't know what you're going to have there. And
I mean, a shell of a man.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah.
I feel horrible. Kathy's, it was very good. I'm very happy she was in that documentary. She's needed to have her voice heard in this to show the world more of who he is. And this is like a normal family, and she's came across just like a normal woman, cause she is. And it was just, it humanized this more, I thought. And it showed just the torture that she's had to go through in this as well. Having her husband ripped away.
Her whole life was shattered in the blink of an eye.
It's just
everything that was normal for them.
Yeah.
Was ended the day that they decided to search their house. And like the people that try to impute some consciousness of guilt type argument to him saying it doesn't fucking matter, it's over. In terms of like, oh, there he is. He's saying that it was over because they searched it. He was saying what you've done in terms of searching my home, the way that you searched it in my neighborhood, in this small town for this crime, you've fucking ended my life.
Yeah.
Like you've destroyed my reputation. There is no coming back from it. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is that case, T, where if he is given a new trial through direct appeal or if it's through post-conviction petition, and he gets a new trial and he's found not guilty, there are going to be people that are always going to fucking think that that man is the guy.
Sure.
You know, I mean, his life in terms of normality is.
Yeah. There's no returning back to normal life ever.
And I don't care where he moves. Yeah. You know, I mean, clearly they'd have to move out of Indiana, but to your point, you know, I spent a lot of time. I sat next to Kathy Allen every day during that trial. And, you know, I told her my role for her was to explain what was going on because she's just a sweet,
you
know, Midwestern gal who has no experience with the criminal justice system, has no experience with any of this.
Yeah.
And whose life has been shattered. And, you know, I wanted to be able to be available to her because if you don't think that Kathy Allen's a victim, that you don't understand what being a victim is. It takes all different forms. And that woman is that entire family, like Jan, his mother. Yeah. And I mean, they're just salt of the earth.
Yeah.
As sweet as you can imagine. I mean, I broke bread with these people on many, many occasions. They're just a genuinely nice family. There's nothing strange about any of them. Kathy is just like every woman that I've ever met from the Midwest, who's just like loves her husband, long time marriage, you know, just a straight shooter and just a really, really down to earth, nice person. And You know, I'm heartbroken for her. Yeah. And she is feeling every bit of all of this still. You know, I mean, I'm in communication with her, and she is just, she's just a puddle, like, and understandably so. Like, she is just not, you don't recover from this.
No.
I mean, it's like there is, you know, and it's like she wants to be strong. She's going to be there for her husband. But in terms of the day to day, when he's now gone in a prison and that's her new reality, it's a hard reality to live in, man.
I hope she keeps speaking out. I hope the family keeps speaking out, because I think Richard needs that, and this can't be easy. And I'm sure they get grief from, you know, people who disagree with them too, but I felt that was so powerful. So I really hope that she keeps talking and letting his story and their story be told. Cause I think that is going to help move the needle more than anything is her helping to put that human 100%. Side to him. Yeah. Without a doubt.
I could not agree more. And the other thing, before we jump off of that subject, the other thing that it made me just rehash was that I was so firmly of the mindset that she should have been called to trial. Mm-hmm. That they needed to hear from her.
Yeah.
And like watching her and just seeing her humanity and putting humanity into context for that jury in terms of this is who these people were. Mm-hmm. It's huge, man. Yeah, and it didn't happen. And it's like, I'm like, oh my God. Cause like during the trial, like leading up to the last day of trial, I'm asking Kathy, I'm like, does it seem like they're going to call you? Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't know. I'm like, they need to call you.
Yeah.
You know? And it's that's a strategic decision, you know, and sure. I'm sure the defense had reasons why they were worried about it. I mean,
sure.
To me, that was a mistake.
Yeah, and it opens her up to cross. It opens up to all that shit. And yeah, I mean,
like, you know what though? It's like if they're worried about the part of the interrogation where Kathy has been brought in from the hallway, where if you guys have never seen the interrogation videos, I highly recommend watch them.
Go look. Yeah,
they're out there. They're everywhere. We've got them on my channel. Yep. I'm sure T's got them on his channel. But go watch them. They're worth your time, and just try to look at them objectively, mm-hmm. and try to watch them in terms of, am I watching a guilty person that has been able to evade law enforcement for 5 years, whose jig is finally up? Is that who you're looking at when you're watching these two separate interviews? And you come to your own conclusions on that. But when Kathy, I need people to understand that when she is out in the hallway while Jerry Holman is going at Richard Allen really, really hard in this room, she is being told by other law enforcement officers what they have against her husband. Okay. So she is being fed information by the people that are trying to persecute her husband. This is what, so she walks into that room thinking, I don't know what to think. And they've just told me they have all this evidence against you. And she says that thing like where she says, I don't remember you telling me you went out to the bridge.
Yeah.
And he's like, I was out there. He's like, I told you I was out there.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just don't remember that. And like that conversation wasn't allowed to develop as much as like him saying, I told you I was out at the trails. And like, that means if I'm out at the trails, I'm going out to the bridge. Like,
yeah,
I didn't need to articulate exactly that I was out on the bridge. Yeah. Cause if he didn't see the girls, he wouldn't think to be like, oh yeah, they walked right by
it's
me.
Like, I was by walking. The elm tree. Of course you right. were. Yeah.
You know, but like that part of it is, you know, it's frustrating, man. It's frustrating. Yeah. And those are all the things in terms of what she could have testified to. But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if that's what they were concerned with, that would have been easy enough to flesh out. And frankly, I think you could have really have helped that situation, because there is the people that believe that he's guilty, that they believe that that's a damning statement. Like, oh, look, he didn't even tell her he went out to the bridge proper. Like, he kept that part out.
Yeah. And when you selectively look at that, then you look back at your own conversations with your spouse or whoever, and like, how many times have you had that conversation with someone where it's like, wait, well, I it's implied. It's like, it's all right. It's like, this is just normal husband wife communication. Like it's just, it's nothing. And she's, like you said, she's just presented with all this crazy shit that was thrown at her as fact. And now go back to your husband. And then she's going to be on notice. She's going to be,
could you imagine where your head would be like at that moment in time?
Yeah. Like, it's all a mind fuck. I mean, it's a
total mind fuck. Yeah. Man.
And they knew how to play it. I mean, and the jury home, like, yeah, all of that with him and his interrogation. I mean, this is, when you watch it, yes, watch it objectively. Watch and go, is this an innocent man? Also look at Jerry Holman and the others who are interrogating him and go, is this a man who failed it, who could not get a job as a used car salesman? So he went into law enforcement. Because that's how it feels. It's like, this is an angry man who didn't get the sale of the Pinto on the lot. And he's angry. And he doesn't really have very effective tactics or very well thought out tactics on how he's going to do this. But he watched some crime shows in 85. And that's what he's still going with. And that's how it feels. It's like, oh, well, if
He's no Columbo. No,
if this doesn't work out, you know, the Honda dealership always needs some high pressure salespeople that are there for you. And I'll bet you anything, on Saturdays when they bring out the balloons and the big flags and they have the lunch, the hot dogs out there grilling, I can guarantee that man's probably at the front of the line, in front of all the customers.
And the big inflatable guy.
Big inflatable, the big wavy inflatables. Yep. Yeah, he's sitting there. Okay, lunch is served, and all the customers, I'll take some of that potato salad.
George Costanza trying to get out of the burning building style.
That's him. Again, just conjecture, and I'm just joking, kind of. What you just heard isn't just about one man's conviction. It's about the ripple effect that can take place in a case that had everyone connected to it. Kathy Allen isn't collateral damage. She's a victim in her own right, living with a new reality where her husband's name will forever be tied to the Delphi murders, no matter what any future court says. The defense may have had strategic reasons for keeping her off the stand, but watching her speak publicly now, it's hard not to wonder if that choice cost them more than it saved. Trials aren't just about evidence, they're about human connection. And in a case, this circumstantial connection might have mattered more than anything. From here, the fight moves into appellate courts, where the rules are different, the audience is smaller, and the stakes are just as high. The question now isn't just whether Richard Allen will get another trial. It's what will be left of him and his life, if he does. Let me know your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi on YouTube or wherever you get podcasts. And hit subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage on this case and the many that we cover for you right here at the Hidden Killers podcast in True Crime Today. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.